What up, Grizz Nation? We are back and we are here talking about the draft. And I'm excited because the Grizzlies have a lot of different ways that they can go in this draft, as well as it's just exciting. I love seeing what really could happen draft night and watching these young guys really see their dreams come true. But I am your host, Daniel Greer, and we have with us our draft expert. He's in-house with us. He is our guy. We don't have to go out and find some dude that just doesn't really know what he's talking about. He's maybe doing a lot of groupthink, as Ryan calls it. So let's bring him on in. Here we go, Ryan. What's up, man?
Hey, it's good that you don't have to go to find someone who doesn't know what he's talking about, because you already have someone in-house who doesn't know what he's talking about. So this is great.
Well, I feel like you are more knowledgeable about most than we kind of just talk about. And a lot of podcasts I've listened to, they're very similar to, you know, mostly everybody. And I know that you try to be different and actually go with your gut and your mind on this, instead of just going with, you know, what everybody is saying. And I'm very susceptible to doing that. And the reason I say that is because I'm not going to be the one talking about these guys today. It's going to be you. And so we want to do a quick draft. Side note, we are going to be either currently on vacation or soon to be on vacation. When you're listening to this, when we're filling your ears with the goodnesses of our voices, we're going to both be on vacation. So we recorded this a little bit early. So if something weird, crazy happens, that's not our fault. We're probably both sitting in probably maybe the sand. I will be drinking an adult beverage of some sort. And Ryan will be out with his family as well, two different places. So we're thinking of you while you're listening to us. So I do appreciate you hanging out. And real quick, give us a rate review on this, as well as a follow. Follow our Twitter accounts. I'm at Daniel Greer. He is at RD Meadows 11.
As always.
Perfect. Just want to make sure. And then you can also follow the lead at the lead SM. And then go shout out our Grizzlies account with the lead at Grizz_lead. They're doing good things. So very close. I work with them as well. And so that is who I work closely with here at the lead. So with that being said, let's go ahead and hop into the draft. That is, I want to make sure that we start this thing off really good, because Ryan is going to give us the top, let's say, 10 people he just loves that should be available potentially with all the mock drafts are going. We don't really know who's available, but we've kind of taken out a few people. And I'll preface this with this line, and Ryan, agree or disagree on these, but Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Mobley, Suggs, Scotty Barnes, Kuminga, Morris Wagner, I did that last time.
It's always the soft V. Yeah, the soft V always gets you when it's a W.
Yep. And even including these three as well. So this is going to be 10 that we're saying are not going to be there almost 100%. And that is as well as Moses Moody, Boog Knight, and Josh Giddey. So just watched Josh Giddey last night on the television when we were recording this live stream last night. And he played pretty well. So do you agree with
those
10?
He was awesome.
10? Yeah. Yeah. Do you agree with those 10 being off the board almost 100% when the Grizzlies draft at 17?
I would say at 98% that Okay. Those 10 will be off the board. You can probably throw in a couple names, but it is the draft.
Right.
So names could fall. So there's players that I would rather talk about that list, like Moses Moody, James Book Knight. You know, I think Grizz fans, just from seeing on Twitter and kind of talking to people, they're excited about them potentially falling to 17. And I really don't see a path where Moses Moody does that.
Right.
James Book Knight is picking up a lot of steam with his workouts. So yeah. I don't think he'll be at 17 either. So if you're realistically going to get either of those guys, I think you're going to have to trade up. And I think you're going to have to get into the lottery, at least. I think you're going to have to be in 10 to 12 if you're realistically thinking about getting Moody, Book Knight, and even Josh Giddey. But of course, it's a draft. Someone can go higher. Someone can fall in love with someone for no reason, a la the Suns, you know, taking whoever they want at 10. So there's wild cards, of course. So is there potential for these guys to fall? Yes. I would just be shocked if they fell all the way to 17 for all three of those guys at the end of that list you mentioned.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it is very much a lot of groupthink that goes on. And I know I've said that now three or four times already, but it is. And, you know, and Sengun could go. Corey Kispert was there. He's fallen down a lot of the mock drafts. That does not mean that when draft night comes around, he will be going in the top 10. Very much could happen. So I just want to make sure we preface that we are leaving some names out. And I will make sure, and I do not know Ryan's list so far, but if Ryan comes up with a list and doesn't include some guys that I like, we'll talk about it afterwards just to try to figure out why, because that's really what I want to find out is, you know, really the fit with the Grizzlies, because this is the Grizzlies podcast. We're talking about the Grizzlies. So the fit is going to be there. The talent, obviously, we want to talk about that as well. So let's go ahead and get into it. Because this is the draft, you know I got to bring something here today. All right, Ryan, go with your top guys who you think that you like.
So I guess I should preface this with this isn't a ranking 1 through 10. These are just 10 guys that could be there that I like at that spot. All right. So the top two, now this is actually going to be ranked for me. Because the rest is, you know, everybody's got no draft prospect is perfect. Okay. Even LeBron James, not perfect draft prospect. So there's always going to be something with each of these guys, but I have two that would be the top of my list that I would target at 17. One is going to be a guy that probably won't be there, but potentially could slide. And you mentioned him already, and that's Alperen Sengun, post player from Turkey. And the other is Trey Murphy III, who's from Virginia, who's a wing, who has gone from a guy who was probably going to go back to school to now he's in the late first round to now he might be in the mid to early teens. And those are two of my favorite guys for the Grizzlies. And Sengun, I know people already, you know, I'm part of the draft league group, and they put out a mock draft where they had it in the green room, Spotify green room, where they just drafted some players, just real quick mock draft. And it had Sengun falling to Grizzlies at 17. And there was a response from actual Grizz Twitter, who are quote unquote notable names in Grizz Twitter. And they absolutely slammed Sengun going at 17, which I think is completely right. Off, because this kid is 18 or 19. He was the MVP of the Turkish League, which is a very good league. If you want to know how European basketball is now, just watch the two exhibition games that the USA lost. The world is catching up to us. Okay. So you're seeing more and more international European players in the NBA. Okay. And what they do well is if they're just flat out stars like Luka, they're flat out stars. Or they're really good rotational role pieces. And Sengun right away for the Grizzlies would be a very good rotational role piece. And that would be exclusively for right now, because JV is still on the team. At least we hope for the next couple of years, he would exclusively be a backup big, which is the Grizzlies probably one of their bigger holes, right? I would say 1A for their big hole is just a shot creator, one-on-one ISO bucket go getter, right? Someone they can throw the ball to when the offense bogs down, go get us 2 points. Besides that, it's a backup big, which Gorgui Dieng, who I know everybody loved Gorgui Dieng, but looked great in that role. And I don't think Gorgui Dieng is exactly a fantastic NBA player. And he's really thrived in that backup center role. Sengun, with his ability, his passing vision, he'll need time to develop. He's an old school big, just like JV. He's plays a lot like Jokic at 18 or 19, honestly. Not saying that he will be that, but he's got touch. He's got great post moves, finishes. It's basically your first five running that same kind of basketball at the second five with no drop off. So to me, he is a guy that would fit right away in the bench unit coming in for JV, or if JV has another injury, we hope there's not another COVID thing, you know, a Delta variant, quote unquote, coming back.
Right.
But he could be a guy that could succeed and take over for JV when we decide JV is too expensive and we're ready to move on in 2 or 3 years. So he's a spot that I think is actually of need. And I know most Grizz fans are not going to want that because everybody just wants scoring. But right. Sometimes when you want a full team, you need that backup rotational post position. And he in the future could be better than JV as an NBA player. So he's my wow. one of my top two guys. The other one is going to be Trey Murphy III. He's a wing player, 6'9", 6'10", lanky. He's a little older. He's 21, but you're talking about the fill, the roll, catch and shoot on the wing. This is the guy. He has a very quick release. It's a beautiful shot. Played in Virginia, so you know he's used to playing a role. Okay. The problem with Virginia guys, you know, is usually outside of Malcolm Brogdon, they're not very creative. They're not playmakers off the bounce. So being older in that Virginia system, he's asked to do specific things, but the one thing, at least on offense, but the one thing you know he can do is play defense. Okay. Virginia is one of the best defensive teams in the college basketball every year. He legitimately can guard 1 through 4. Like he can switch all of that. Now he's still thin. He's skinny. He's probably not going to be able to hold up very well against fours and fives if they're in the post. But guess what? It's the modern NBA. There is really no big man backing you in the post unless his name is Jokic or Embiid, or, you know, Jonas, a situational type big. So I think he's perfect. He's situational, switching. I think he could play in the playoffs right away. You're probably not going to get a ton from him on dribble drive, but he could immediately come in and really usurp or match Desmond Bane's shooting performance from three.
Wow.
Like he's that good of a shooter.
Okay.
And he's what, 5 inches taller than Desmond Bane.
Yeah.
So the only drawbacks will be the off the bounce creation, which I don't have a problem with. He can get his shot off since he's taller. Because Ja is going to do all the creating himself. Yeah. So he really just kind of has to stay in there and he's used to a role. So he's not going to come in thinking I'm the guy now. Yeah. Like he's going to be, what can I do to help this team? So being a little bit older, having that experience, I think he's a perfect fit. Those are my top two.
Okay.
Is well, there a top two that you would kind of bounce back or what do you think about those two?
I do like those two because they are very, you know, they mirror two guys that we already have on this team. And that is Jonas, like you said, with Sengun, but also with Murphy. I know I've said it already on the past podcast, if you're not listening to Free Basketball, shame on you. Our mock draft was dynamite. I won, obviously.
but and Trey quick.
Yeah, it was quick. Trey Murphy, he reminds me a lot of Kyle Anderson, but much better shooter. He's obviously not able to do those little things that Kyle does yet. Kyle is going to be on this team this upcoming season. So putting behind him and honestly, maybe fill that role, it allows you to move on from Kyle if you feel like you should or need to. If you need to make a trade, if you need to lose him in free agency, this is a type of player that has length that can be very good defensively. He can kind of switch on different players if needed. But he can also fill it up. And if you have a team that has a guy who is very dynamic in Ja Morant, I think surrounding him with people that looks like they could go play for the Utah Jazz and just stand outside the arc and shoot and make 3 or 4 3-pointers a game, he reminds me of that. So I think that he would fit on this team. We do have a guy like Dylan Brooks still. We do have a guy like Brandon Clark currently. They both can be a little more athletic and they can do some things. So I'm not mad at that at all. And I would be happy with those two. I'm not sure else where we go. The rest of this could make me nervous, but I want to go ahead and keep going. So give us go ahead. I like the two guys. Give us two more right in a row.
Two more right in a row that if they fell, one you already mentioned is the guy that for months and months was in the top 10 of everyone's mocks, but has now fallen to end of the lottery, could potentially be right out. And right at 17 is right out of the lottery, and that's Corey Kispert. He's sitting right there, elite three-point shooting, as you know, four-year senior. Every time when I watch Kispert, like, it's really if his shot's on or not that he really affects. So I know everybody gets the he gets the Joe Harris comparison, which probably is because he's a white three-point shooter. But he's a bigger body to me than Joe Harris, and he does show some nice athleticism, but he's probably just a situational three-point shooter. And just stand around the perimeter. I don't know how much he's going to give you off the bounce, but he would be good value for the Grizzlies at 17, especially since everyone's had him top 10 for so long. And another one right off that is Chris Duarte. If he's going to be there at 17, he's an interesting piece for the Grizzlies. I like Trey Murphy much better than Chris Duarte. Chris Duarte is what, the oldest player in this draft at 24.
Right.
He's a good team defender. He's got an effortless stroke. Like, he's got a beautiful three-point shot. Some of the problems that he has is he does get burnt in isolation on defense, and he's not much of a creator at all and can have terrible decision-making. So he's kind of like everybody's – he's kind of like the sexy pick right now because – Grizzlies have had a lot of success past couple of years taking older players like this, right? And I think because he's older and he did do a lot of things for that Oregon team as their main scorer, got to the second round in March Madness, that everyone's like, oh, here's another one that we can get that'll be older and ready to go. I'm a little more cautious with him because the off-the-bounce stuff really kind of bothers me. Like Trey Murphy, he's like you were saying with Kyle Anderson, he's so much more athletic than Kyle Anderson. He can play above the rim if he wants to. Chris Duarte doesn't really do that, and his handle isn't great. I don't think he'll ever be a creator, so he's just going to be a perimeter shooter. And if he has bad decision-making, I'm not sure if that's something that's going to be helpful long-term with the Grizzlies because you're going to need a good decision maker with the ball after they get a kick out from Ja, right? Are they just going to shoot it right away, which he's very dependent on that shot? Is he trying to try to get to the basket? When help comes, he usually or typically turn the ball over. I mean, really, really bad passes. so it's an issue that I'm worried about. I'm more cautious with Duarte, but he has good value at 17 where I'd understand why people would want him there.
Yeah. I like that. I just called in a friend and he's going to help me out real quick because the first guy you talked about, Mama, there goes that man. That's what I'm talking about. Mark Jackson. I love Corey Kispert and I want more of him. And Chris Duarte. What are we talking about? He's 24. I don't want that guy on our team. Like, come on. He's 5 years older than most of the people that are good on this team. Like, we're talking about eventually, like, what are we going to do? We're going to get him on his rookie contract, and he's already in his prime. Like, he's already there. Like, that's okay. But, like,
yeah,
we're not a team that I think needs to get that guy.
He's – the timeline is different. Like, if you're – I think the Grizzlies are on an accelerated timeline. So if you're trying to go for something in the next year or two or actually compete with JV's timeline, Kyle Anderson's timeline, he makes sense for the current timeline fit. If it, because of the contract, right? Because he's going to sign that rookie contract. His next deal is going to be when he's 28, which is technically in right. The middle of most NBA players' primes. And role players as a primes, typically their primes are much shorter. Usually this kind of role player, they're done by 30.
Yeah.
So he's a guy who's good for the next 4 years to me. And then you probably cut him loose. Does right. He fit positionally for this four-year window playoff run? And I think he does for what he gives you. The yeah. problem is at 24, the playmaking and stuff that we've seen from him so far, he was great beside Peyton Pritchard. right? Last year or 2 years ago, is he's probably is what he is. And that maybe not be a high floor, but it's not a terrible, I mean, a high ceiling, but it's not a terrible floor, to where he fits something off the bench. That's what you're looking for him, for your kind of cheap mini window, because they're going to have to find these cheap pieces because Jaw's contract coming up. We're in the middle of Triple J's contract. And then you've got to try to figure out how to re-sign JV and Kyle Anderson. So you're looking for an older, ready-to-go player that you're not having to wait on, even though he has obvious red flags, that can fill a 12-man rotation for cheap for 4 years, and then you can cut him loose.
Yeah. See, the only thing I disagree with, I like that, and I agree with that. What I disagree with having him on the Grizzlies team is that we have a lot of good players. I think when he comes in, because he might have a low ceiling, in my opinion, I think we already have those players and those types of players. If we really wanted to, I'd say we could package a couple good players and go out and get a very much a better player if we wanted to in trading. And that has the potential there. And so that's why I would rather take a swing for exactly what we need in shooting, or exactly what we could use in potential. And so that's where I'd like to go and have, you know, one of those two swings. And so that I like Chris Burt, not a big fan of Duarte here for us. If we did, I'd want to fall down into the 20s if we're going to grab him. But yeah, we are.
Go ahead. I don't think he's going to be there if you trade down. Like, if you're at, they shouldn't, the Grizzlies should not walk into this draft with the idea of, hey, we should trade down for Duarte, because I don't think he'll be there, and I think it's a waste if you do that.
Okay.
So I think if you're the Grizzlies, the only thing you're doing in this draft, I think, is trying to trade up if you see a guy fall like Moody, like we talked about.
Right.
And I know a lot of people like Book Knight, and he'll probably be gone. I have questions about Book Knight too, but I don't think I'd trade down for anybody in this draft. I'm trying to trade up if someone slides, or I just stay at 17. That's kind of my feelings about it, which obviously people will disagree with that, and that's fine. I think it's risky to trade down to think a guy's going to be there.
Right.
If that makes sense. If I'm getting anybody, I'm getting up. I'm moving up to get him.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. And then our next episode, we're going to release the week of the draft. We're going to actually give the three guys that we want, and we're going to put them in order. If they're all there, this is who we're going for. I'm also going to give us some scenarios. Who are the guys we're going to trade up for? Who are the guys we're going to fall back for? And anything else that might be draft-related that we've seen, if we want to get into some NBA stuff on that, we can. But mostly I want to stick to the Grizzlies and what we got going on. I do like these first four guys. Let's go a little bit quicker on the next six. Let's keep going two by two. I like it.
Yeah, next two, which – this next one I actually like more than Chris Duarte, but I don't know if the fit is perfect like Chris Duarte could be, because it's Jaden Springer. And that's basically because of the contract situation coming up, right? Like, if he's, this is a guy who's 18 or 19, probably like 19, right? Like, he's a guy that could be there for a long time, but he may not be ready right now. But he's 6'4" playmaking guard. Has good on-ball defense. He's a good finisher. He's kind of like that slow, methodical James Harden kind of offense. He has a lot of playmaking upside. Not a great shooter right now. I mean, he shot, if you look at the stats, it looks like he's a great shooter. He's a 40% three-point shooter on like 30 attempts, okay?
Yeah.
So that's a very small sample size that you can't really, especially you move the three-point line back a foot and a half or whatever it is from college to NBA, you really can't project that as a good shooter. Now, his form is not busted. He can play. He actually has an interesting stat, which I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's two players ever in history to have an efficiency, an effective field goal percentage, I believe, and some sort of combo together in college basketball, and one is Jaden Springer, and the other player that was in that was James Harden. So he has kind of that kind of game, and I think that fits the Grizzlies well. I would be excited to take him at 17 if he fell, which I think in most mocks he'll be there. The other one is just a pure score is Cameron Thomas from LSU. He's also 19, 6'4", pure bucket getter, right? He already has NBA three-point range. The question is, what else can he do? Everything he does is relying on a pull-up jump shot. Now, he's good in open court, but he just does not blow me away as an athlete, like getting by people. Like if you watch film on him, like he gets his move, right? And he's been able to get his shot off, but it's college players, typically smaller, not as athletic as NBA players. And he relies on that step back a lot to create separation. So NBA players are going to hone in on that, especially if he's scoring a lot. And they know his go-to move is going to be the step back. So there's questions, obviously, like I said before, with all, but Cameron Thomas is just the pure, you're looking for the ISO score, go get me a bucket. The problem is, I don't think he has a great ISO scoring bag, quote unquote, if that makes sense. He's a more jump shot reliant, perimeter reliant scorer, which may not be great for the Grizzlies, which could lead to a lot of 3-for-17 shooting nights, which, you know, you need the efficiency, but he's just an upside swing if you're looking for a bucket getter. So this will be my next two.
Yep, I like it. Big fan of Cameron Thomas. He is kind of my sleeper in the draft to be a guy who can honestly go out and just get buckets. Like he is what I labeled as the bucket getter. And so I do like that. I'm not a big fan of Jaden Springer. He's okay. I think he is a guy that I'm okay. If I fall back in the draft and pick up, I'm okay with that. But not at 17, not a big fan there. But I'm going to let you stick on him. And then if we draft him, I will be upset. But right now I'm going to let it pass because this is just, we're talking about it. And these are 10 guys. So we gave you 10. We've already given you 6. So, right, these next 4, you know, that's going to be another 10 we're giving you. So we're going to probably draft one of these guys because Ryan's smart. So, Ryan, give us 2 of the last 4.
All right. Next 2 I would go with is an international player, Usman Garuba from Spain. And the other one is an Alabama wing who, after out of the combine, I think has rose up on a lot of mocks, which would be a reach for him at 17. But things get weird when we talk about wings. NBA teams can never have enough of them. Right. So a lot of them side to the potential of a wing over what they know for a fact they can get out of a guard or a certain forward. So this would be a stretch, but the other one is Joshua Primo out of Alabama. Garuba is just, he's kind of an undersized forward, but he is a guy who plays extremely hard. This is for your bench center position. If Sengun is not there, he will give you everything he's got. Like he just gives a crap every single possession. And he has an interesting ceiling, which I think is really untapped. He's shown playmaking ability. He's tried to shoot from 3. So with the development side of the Grizzlies, if you can develop him, he could be a really interesting prospect. And then Joshua Primo is just a guy from Alabama who's kind of do all wing. This is a guy that's going to take the longest time to develop, I think, that might or might not contribute for a few years. Like he's just a cheap option. You want to keep him around, get him on a cheap second contract, maybe in that second contract. He's good to contribute to your team. Not saying that he'll be an eventual starter, but this guy at Alabama as a freshman played a really good role for them. And they made what, the Elite Eight?
Yeah.
That was a senior laden team. So he didn't pop on screen, but you got him in the combine where it was finally like, okay, do your thing. He popped. And so guys that we've seen in the combine recently who pop like that usually end up being a solid piece sooner rather than later, even though I said it will take you maybe a second contract to finally see some fruit yielding from your draft pick. So this would be my next 2 back to back.
Garuba. So the only thing that I don't love about him, he's only 6'8".
And that's the only drawback.
And he's potentially labeled as a center. He's not a stretch forward because he really can't shoot. So if you're 6'8 big man, if you're the 6'8 center, you got to be a great rebounder because he'd be next to Triple J. I think Xavier Tillman already fits that role, in my opinion. So I think getting Garuba, who is undersized just as Xavier Tillman is, I don't know if that is somebody I would get at 17. Like I said, if you don't fill a need right away, that's fine, but you better fall back and get something for it, as in something for the future. So I would be okay, but I know a lot of mock drafts have Garuba to us, unless he just, I don't know, shoots. And I haven't seen any kind of audio or anything about it or any video, nothing. Nobody has said anything about him being a really good shooter. I'm not a big fan of that player at this spot in 17. And then Josh Primo, I do like him. I went back yesterday and watched the combine videos and looked at the numbers, the box score from that. He did pop at times, but he wasn't just overwhelming. A lot of players that I did see on there right away, they were kind of overwhelming at first, and obviously they didn't play again. I don't think Primo played again except for one game. But Primo is good. He is the youngest player in this draft. So if you're getting him, you're getting him saying, hey, we're going to put you as the backup point guard behind Tyus, right? And so if Ja gets hurt, Tyus would move into the starter, and then Primo would be the backup. And maybe learn from Tyus for a year because Tyus's contract's coming up. So maybe that's potential. I see him more as a big point guard than a shooting guard, even though he can shoot at times. I do like him more to be a point guard. So I'm okay with that. But as we said, he is young. So I don't know if that's really what we need in that position at 17. So I think that is a fallback target, as you talked about, too. Let's go to the last two, because I have about five names here that I've not heard, and you have two names to give me. So what's going on?
So one I'm going to talk about is I do want to mention a little bit about a guy who we think we've set in a list that will probably not be there, but there is a slight chance. And so that first guy is James Bouknight, which he has blown up in the workouts. Yeah. Everyone loves him. This happens every year. Someone falls in love with a workout guy.
Yeah.
And I guess you can just call me a critic. Every time I've watched James Bouknight, I've just never seen it.
Yeah.
Like I've never got it, if that makes sense. Yes, he was the best player on a UConn team. His teammates weren't great, and they still made the NCAA tournament and won games. But everyone's all excited from these workouts because he's been shooting. He's been on fire in all of these workouts and these pre-draft workouts. He's made every shot possible. But if you go look at his numbers from UConn, I think it is fair to say you have to take with a grain of salt because it is UConn and they were not a great team. But he shot like 30%.
Right.
So this happens every year. We get a great pre-draft workout guy who's everybody's freaking out about. Then he goes in a game and he can't make anything. So is James Bouknight the next version of this? Is he the guy who looks great in one on none, but right, nine other guys on the court, he can't shoot? But I get why you'd be interested in him here. The shot creation, he's probably one of the better one-on-one creators in this draft, like actual creators in this draft. Not like Cam Thomas, who might be considered one-on-one creator, but is actually jump shot reliant. Bouknight can actually get to the lane and do stuff with it. So I get the upside that you're looking for. I question the actual shooting production on the court because we saw it for, 2 years? That he just did not produce that same shooting on the court as he did on one-on-none. So that would be my second to last. My last one is going to be, hold on, I got to get my, what did I do with my notes here? The other one is an upside swing that is probably going to be a late first. And this is another position fill need who you probably will like more than Garuba. I just like Garuba's defensive potential and his ceiling much more than this player. And that's JT Thor, who is a project center, can play, you know, the wing four position, showed a little bit from three. It will take development, but a guy who is versatile, which I think is what the Grizzlies really need, is a versatile backup big. Like I said before, Gorgui Dieng thrived with the Grizzlies. JT Thor, I think, could be much better than Gorgui Dieng. Truly could switch one through five. Maybe two through five is more fair. But this is the kind of players you need. You need switchable bigs who can hold their own in rebounding, can stretch the floor and create. And JT Thor can do that. So those would be my last two.
Okay. Book night. So I listened to Chad Forbes' podcast. I believe it was yesterday. And he brought up a good point about him. And he said, I've just never seen it, you know, in a game. Like he I know he's had some different games where he's went off for, you know, just scoring, you know, 30, whatever, 40 points probably. And that's cool. But on a consistent basis, it just isn't there. And if you're getting somebody a top 10, top 15 in the draft, like you're thinking like this guy has it. Like, you know, yes, there's no there's always concerns about people, but there's not as many with him. Like he's a good player, but I just don't love that he is all of a sudden just blown up in these individual workouts. And so I know just like somebody who's really good at interviewing, there's people that are just good at doing pro days, right?
This is the Scotty Barnes conundrum. Right. Everybody loves Scotty Barnes after his interviews. And I think there's major questions, even though he's going to be a top five or six pick.
Yeah.
He might go four. Heck, he might go three.
I don't know about that.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of the conundrum is you interviewed well. We love this kid. He's going to be a great player on the court. How? How's that? How does that relate at all?
Yeah, I agree.
And the same thing with Book Knight. Book Knight is thin. The only reason, like, I had those same kind of feelings, like you said, Chad Ford did, is UConn was in Memphis's conference. You know, we saw Book Knight twice a year until they moved to the Big East. Still follow him because Big East is on primetime television. So, I've seen Book Knight play a dozen games and he gets points, but there's just little things that he's dominating inferior talent. Like he has a great game against Seton Hall. Is there a single professional player on Seton Hall's team? Like maybe European. But I completely agree. It's the consistency that is, you know, the big red flag to me is great. He's fantastic in practice.
Yep. It's great.
And this happens. It happens every year. It happens all the time.
Yeah. No, I agree. And the last one, JT Thor, I do like him. I don't know he's going to take more time. He is the upside swing, somebody who can be really good, but I don't know if he's going to be really good for the next 2 years. And so if he is, you're going to put him there and hopefully he develops out in South Haven, the G League team. That's really what you hope, is that he just develops there. But there's a lot of people.
He's truly the biggest stretch at 17.
Yeah,
like, I agree. Like, there's no one in the world who's probably going to take him 17, but he still should be considered.
Okay.
He should still be on your board, is what I'm saying.
Well, some people who weren't on your board.
Yes.
I'm going to bring it up because this is hitting very close to home, even though he left the program that I hold near and dear to my heart, Coach K in his last season. Wow. Jalen Johnson at 17. You're saying that if Jalen Johnson's at 17, you're not going to get him?
I'm not. I have major red flags. Now, first off, I don't think he'll be there at 17. I think someone's going to take him. But even if he was there, and I still wouldn't take him. I think he needs a very specific place to flourish, and it has to be in the open court setting. And like it's really who the Charlotte Hornets should target at 11 or wherever they're at, because they play wide open. He'd be a good running mate. I just don't see how Jalen Johnson fits with the Grizzlies at all. Wow. And I've heard multiple people who know Jalen Johnson well, or I guess would be considered better than any of us, obviously, saying that he truly needs to go to the right fit.
Okay.
And anytime you say that about a player, that he's got to be in the perfect fit situation for him, I'm staying away from.
Okay.
I'm just not going to do it. Now, you can believe in your culture, and I believe in Ja, Triple J, JV, obviously. But a young guy like this, who has to be in a perfect situation where he's coddled and he thinks obviously he's better than what he should be, I don't think I would want to deal with that and manage him. Okay. So Jalen Johnson to me is a bounce around the NBA type player. Like he's the kind of five teams in 7 years kind of guy to me.
Woo.
And I know that's putting a big hit on him. I mean, he does have a lot of potential. He's great in open court. He gets a defensive rebound and can push it in open court and make good decisions, make the right passes. It's the mental part for me that I would stay away from. That's why that's my biggest red flag for him.
All right. I'm okay with that for the most part, because the red flags are scary. And when you get pretty much you leave Duke and the team gets better, that's an issue. I watched the team, right? Okay. I know what happened in that year last year. There's a lot that went on with it. And so maybe his attitude needs a little bit of an adjustment, right? But you're also about to go into being the newest guy on the team. You're not going to be the baddest guy in the room when you walk in. And on a normal basis, you're just not, unless you're the top five pick or top three pick, in all honesty. But what Jalen does, and I don't want to spend too much time on him that we already have, but he does have potential to be what they want Justice Winslow to be. He can be a guy who maybe won't be the point forward, but he's a guy who can get a lot of rebounds. He plays really good defense, and he would actually push Triple J to the center position if that's what they're looking for, because he does have the length and he does have the rebounding that would allow them to play together and they could play off of each other. And if you're talking about Garuba being 6'8 and being a center, well, Jalen Johnson could be a center too as well then, if that's what we're talking about. I think he can put the weight on and be that guy. But I just think that Jalen Johnson at 17, which I agree he probably won't be there, but if he is, I think he actually is a good fit there because he fills up the role of the rebounding and the defense that Kyle Anderson does and helps out when Jonas is gone, that rebounding. So I don't know if he is the best fit, but I do think he is a really good fit there, contrary to popular beliefs. But one other one that I want to hit on, and this guy, he's a Gator. And somebody who I kind of have seen, and that is Trey Mann. I don't watch a lot of Florida basketball, just being very honest, but I did see a lot of Trey Mann, and every time he was on the court, I just felt like he was the best player, if not one of the two best players on the court every time he was there. He is a combo guard, somebody who can play off of Ja. He's somebody who could be the backup point guard. And I think he actually is a really good pick and roll playmaker. And so I just think that because he's able to get to the rim as well as knock down the shot, I think that's somebody who you have to look at being a long-term fill in that backup point guard role, as well as somebody who could play off of Josh. So what do you think about Trey Mann?
Yeah, Trey Mann was a very hard leave off the list. The only reason I left him off is because there's real question marks about defense, and he is a smaller, skinnier combo guard. Like, who does he defend? Can he even guard ones? I don't think he can guard more than ones, and he will have a hard time even guarding those. So he is a good playmaker. Like, he's really good in pick and roll, which is 90% of NBA offenses,
right?
But kind of like Cam Thomas, a lot of it is getting to that step back, and Cam Thomas is just bigger. I think he's more athletic. This is why I lean Cam. Obviously the range is already there with Cam, and he has that scoring mindset. Trey Mann, yes, he's a scorer, but I think he can float in and out. And I don't think he's all the way locked in all the time where Cam Thomas is always locked into getting his, which, yeah, you know, can be a detriment to a team, but at least it's someone who's locked in, not someone who's going to float night to night. So I like Trey Mann a lot. He might be a reach at 17. He might be a potential if you were to trade back and try to pick up something. He's a guy that you would consider, I think, in the back end of the first round. Okay. I think he'll probably go in the 20s of the first round. I would be surprised if he went second, but it's certainly possible with people moving up. But he would fit. I think he needs the ball in his hands to be successful. And on the Grizzlies, he's just not going to have that. So you're going to ask him to sit around and catch and shoot. And I don't think he's a great catch and shoot, catch and shoot shooter yet. There's a lot of shoot back to back. Trying to just get that straight.
Just shoot it. All right. Well, that wraps us up. We didn't want to take a long time on this. And it actually probably went a little bit longer than I expected, because we did want to dig in, but not too much. We want to make sure we value your time. And like I said, you're listening to this. We're both, you know, on vacation. Don't bother us, but you can definitely give us a rate, review, a follow. We definitely like that. So we do have this next podcast, like I talked about earlier. We're going to give our three guys who we want the Grizzlies to draft. We're going to put them in order so we can see exactly who hits. We're not going to discuss them prior to the pod, so you'll hear them for the first time here. We're going to see who we would like to move up and grab. Who is that one guy, maybe that two guys that you would actually move up, and what we're going to have to work out to move that up. Like, what actually makes sense for the Grizzlies moving back? What do you want in return to move back? As well as we'll hit on a few second round guys. There's a few that I know me and Ryan have all talked about already that we do like, that for some odd reason they fell. I have one in particular that I love. I don't know if we're able to move back, which would allow us to move up in the second round. That's really what I'm going to pitch. But as we talked about earlier, go ahead and follow us on Twitter. He is at RDMeadows11. I am at Daniel Greer. You can follow the Free Basketball account at FreeBasketball3. Follow the Lead Sports Media at the Lead SM. And you can follow Grizz Lead at Grizz_Lead. Ryan, do you have anything?
I don't. You gave enough shout outs to everyone else that I should not shout out anything else. People are furiously scribbling down all those usernames.
Well, just a little tip. Pause. Rewind. You can help out. I have to do that on my voicemails for work on a consistent basis, because like I say, I'm the dummy of the show. Ryan is the brains. I'm just here to hopefully make you laugh, and he's here to actually fill up a lot of your ear hole with goodness. A lot of goodness. But that's all we have this week. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for listening to us. Make sure you download the podcast coming up. We are going to be live during the week of the draft next week. Be nice and tell your friends.
Just the tip.